This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, what is the dream scenario for Texan fans? Before we get to that, let's just remind you of how awesome D'Amico Ryans is. Here was D'Amico Ryans talking about the physicality of defenses he coaches and how he prepares his team.
Is that sort of physicality something you have to establish in training camp? And, you know, maybe it might be a tougher training camp than with other teams, but do you feel like that's a necessary component of making sure guys know from the jump?
Oh, yeah. Our guys know from not only training camp, they know from OTAs, like our first meeting with our guys. Like, that's who we're going to be. Like, we're going to be a physical defense. So guys understand that before we even put pads on. They understand the type of the style of play we have to play as a defense. And we carry that on throughout training camp. Is it going to be tough? Yes, it's going to be tough. But anything worth having, you got to work hard at it, right? It's not going to be easy. It's not easy to be a physical defense, right? And coaches are grinding each and every week to bring that physicality out of you. But when you got the right guys in the locker room who have that mindset, like, I don't have to speak on it much because you will stick out like a sore thumb if you're not being physical on our defense.
All right, so that was D'Amico Ryans on the physicality of his defense. You've got a good cut up on that on your social media.
On my YouTube, yeah.
On your YouTube, yeah.
So, because it's you know, it's interesting. Not everybody has to bribe players to injure the opponent,
right,
to try to motivate your defensive players. It's something that's curious to me and watch. It's weird how the guy that feeds all these stories to guys like Colin Cowherd doesn't have really Bountygate brought up all that much anymore.
He doesn't.
It's kind of strange, isn't it? Way that works.
It's legitimately weird that it doesn't get brought up.
Yeah. He's cozy with all these guys.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or at least he's cozy with some of them.
Right.
When I talk about when you're evaluating coaches' references and you evaluate what are other people saying about them, and you get a whole lot of perfunctory praise from people about coaches. Oh, yes, he's done a very good job for us. Oh, yes, he's very, very bright. I like to look for effusive, over-the-top praise. And D'Amico Ryans gets that kind of praise from his players and from other coaches, including like Matt Schaub, who he played with, talking about how D'Amico used to try to pick his brain all the time about just why the offense does things a certain way. That's one of the things. D'Amico's reputation for quizzing offensive players and coaches about the offense is one of the things that makes me get over my fear of hiring a defensive coach, because ultimately it comes down to, okay, does he really genuinely understand offensive coaches and their challenges? And I think D'Amico has put more effort into that perhaps than a lot of other guys.
Is there a certain type of player that's cool with the mindset we just heard D'Amico talking about? Like, is that something that they're, if D'Amico's a head coach, the thirst for physicality, I'll say on both sides of the ball, probably the need to practice,
yeah,
those types of things. Is that something they're going to have to vet well when they're scouting guys or looking at free agents? I mean, we're in an NFL where the physicality of practice is one of the things that's at an actual bargaining chip,
yeah,
with the players union.
Well, yeah, that's right. I don't know. I don't know how just absolutely physical the practices are,
okay,
or whether it's if it's an issue of do they have more injuries or not. I think some of it, when it comes to tackling and just effort and defense, a lot of it has more to do with running than anything else. Like Gary Kubiak was known as a guy that had very, like, quote-unquote, less physical practices, and that was a bonus for players because you're not necessarily getting stupid injuries all the time, but you ran and ran and ran in his practices. I was some of the most tired I've been was after his first year here. just because you're playing against that zone offense, that zone running offense. So you just run to the sideline every damn play, or you're running to the sideline realizing it's a bootleg and then running back the other way. So it's like they were hard practices, and just getting guys to practice that way. Dan Quinn is a different different style in some ways than D'Amico Ryans, but like those guys run and run and run for Dallas. You can see that they play the way they practice.
Would you rather have a practice that's really hard because of the physicality, or really hard because of the running?
Oh, the physicality, just because that would mean just stand.
Like, that seems to play into what you would.
Well,
like
yeah,
to
I used
do.
To love 9-on-7 drill, because then you're just standing there and soaking up double teams, or you beat a guy and then you only have to take 3 steps to tackle him.
Beautiful
inside run. Well, that's inside run drill too. Yeah, that's more fun, or blitz period or something like that.
John Crumpler, who John does a nice job covering the Texans for USA Today, the Texan Wire. And he put up an interesting poll yesterday. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, are we setting ourselves up for disappointment? I've tried to be so conscious of not trying to get my hopes way, way high on this coaching search. Not because I don't think the Texans can close the deal, but because I've experienced the last 2 years of Lovie Smith and David Culley. The candidates for this job this time around excite me way more than the last couple of years. So that gets me excited. But his question was this: with the information available, what's the dream Houston offseason if they're going to take a quarterback with their first pick? And he's got 4 choices. D'Amico and Bryce.
Okay.
D'Amico and Stroud.
Okay.
Gannon and Bryce.
Hmm.
Gannon and Stroud. Now, again, you can only put 4 choices on a Twitter poll. Otherwise, I would put Steichen with each of those guys.
Right.
But yeah. I think Gannon's in there because he's a perceived favorite.
He's a perceived favorite. I wonder, though, with Steichen, just the fact that he's worked with 2 young quarterbacks and gotten very good results out of them.
Yeah.
The fact that Steichen was the OC for the Chargers when Herbert was the rookie of the year, and that Herbert in some ways seems to have gotten hit a glass ceiling
plateaued.
Of some sort.
Yeah.
I think that, I would have rather gone and seen Steichen with one of those guys. Okay.
It might not matter.
I'm guessing, okay, if people have they readjusted their expectations with the number 2 overall pick now and veered more towards C.J. Stroud? I think a lot of people have.
Okay.
I'm going to say the dream scenario in your poll was D'Amico and C.J. Stroud.
This is John Crumpler's poll, but
it's yours now.
It's mine now. I own it on the radio. Sorry, John. Only 19% for that one, Seth.
Okay, yeah. I've misjudged our 77.6%. Still want Bryce Young.
D'Amico and Bryce.
Okay.
D'Amico
okay.
and Bryce, yeah.
Look, I admire their Gannon, steadfastness.
But this goes to show you the disappointment that there will be if it's not D'Amico Ryans. I don't mean to set it up so everybody's disappointed. This is how it goes on this poll. About 1,000 votes in here. D'Amico and Bryce Young, dream scenario, 78%. D'Amico and C.J. Stroud, 19%. Gannon and Bryce Young, 1.9%. Gannon and C.J. Stroud, 1.4%. So the combined Gannon scenarios don't even get to 3.5%.
Yeah.
People want their D'Amico Ryans, man. They want him bad.
Well, yeah, that jives with your poll of 97% approval rating for D'Amico Ryans.
To be a record in a Pender poll.
It would, yeah.
It would be a record
for any kind of poll.
For anything
to get 97%+ approval.
Yeah. The previous high was Eric Bieniemy's approval rate to be the Texans head coach in 2021.
This is where I get nervous is, okay, what was our big objection with Bill O'Brien, the general manager? Was it like he was always trying to hit a parlay where was you take like 7 improbable things and say, well, if this works out and if this works out and if this works out and if this works out, you stack too many of those ifs together and all of a sudden you're looking at a very improbable event. And with this, I'm saying, look, I don't mind getting a defensive coach whatsoever, even though the trend is going the other way. So, okay, I'm bucking the trend a little bit there. And now, do I also not mind taking a quarterback who's far smaller than any quarterback really that's either been drafted in the first round or been successful as an NFL quarterback in the last several decades?
Let's go for
it. It's a parlay, yeah.
Hey.
But if.
But if.
If they pull it off,
hey,
John.
Hey, man.
If they pull it
the
off.
The upside.
Hey. Bob Kraft taking a chance on Bill Belichick was kind of a parlay.
It worked.
Wasn't it?
Stolen from the Jets.
What draft pick did they have to trade for that?
To the Jets,
They were penalized, I think. That wasn't a trade. That was a penalty, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look. Belichick was with the Jets for like 2 days.
Not you. Yeah, it was. He had agreed to it, and then he wrote his resignation on a napkin.
Yeah.
And then went up and gave like a half-hour press conference.
We don't have enough napkin notes anymore. Everybody's texting and whatnot.
Nobody has a pen on them.
We need more. I know. Yeah. We need more business done on napkins these days. We drop some plays on napkins. I've seen some of that.
You know what? There's something about a napkin. It's the limitations. It's like anything great creatively. Sometimes it's because it's done within certain limitations, and it forces you. Like you have to. It's like, okay, I'm going to come up with this plan and or this resignation. Like, let's not overthink it. I'm going to jot it on a napkin. I'm not going to get too verbose with it or anything. Here we go.
Yep.
Likewise with game plans and business ideas.
Yeah.
You put it on the napkin. Or you come up with the
idea. Keep it simple, stupid.
Ideally, you come up with the idea, you hire consultants, you vet it out in front of focus groups, and then you write it out on a napkin and create a great story about it. Like, oh, yeah. My buddy and I were having beers down at the pub, and this old man, his name was, don't ask his name, this old man said, you know, it reminds me of a story from World War II. And we based our entire company on that.
An old man named Corn Ferry sat down with six of his associates. And we hashed it all out on a cocktail napkin.
Yeah. You got to have a cocktail napkin story.
It's got to be involved.
Yeah.
You're getting some suggestions for questions for Jeremy Pena. For those who don't know, Seth is one of the co-hosts for the Houston Sports Awards tomorrow night. It's a tradition like no other. Seth interviewing Ronald McDonald.
And that's, I checked. I wasn't, I am interviewing Ronald
McDonald.
You
are again this year?
Yes.
But
I'm also the pre-MC.
Yeah, you're doing like the pre-game show.
Yeah, that sounded vulgar. I'm the pre-MC. I'm doing, I'm one of the pre-MCs.
Yeah.
Alex Bregman is the...
He's the host.
He's the host, yeah.
It's his show. But you, along the way, are going to have a brief stand-up with Jeremy Pena, where you ask him a question.
Yes, and I'm supposed to, and they've given me license to, just ad-lib on that.
Here are a few...
I'm a little bit nervous that I'm going to screw it up.
Here's a couple that have come in on the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page. Trailer Wheel and Frame! 9085, tell Seth to ask Pena why Dusty wears those damn gloves. Is he about to pull briskets off the pit? With a lot of exclamation points and question marks after it.
Which is, latex gloves.
His black gloves that he wears during games. Yeah.
Did he start wearing those during COVID?
I think he did, and then maybe just got superstitious. I think
he's a man of many superstitions.
Yeah.
And like, and kind of, he likes accessories.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He's got the wristbands. I mean, he's branding some of that stuff now.
He's got the toothpick. He's got the wristbands. He's got something else embroidered.
Okay.
Oh, and Kennedy Smith, Patty Smith's daughter, is the pre-master of
ceremonies. Oh, former track star at Texas A&M. That's awesome. Yeah. That'll be good. That's a good squad right there. 0780 has one serious question and one fun question. The serious question is an interesting one, probably way too nerdy for the Houston Sports Awards crowd. With the shift being banned, is that going to change the way you play or approach the shortstop position since it's been the norm since you've been playing college and pro ball?
That is an excellent question, and yet, yes, way too like,
you will immediately
heavy.
Become the most boring pre-MC of all time.
I've learned that before when you do stuff like this, you gotta tailor it to the audience, and a lot of people there aren't sports radio listeners or actually like, clued in on anything other than they like going to games and stuff. So I had a really good joke that would have killed you. But a few years ago, and I can't remember. It was about basically a current event that was a little too sports nerdy, and it felt like a rock.
Fell flat. Yeah. Yeah.
So then I just started cursing everybody out.
you
guys don't deserve me.
Hey, this is the biggest crowd I'll be able to tell this at one time. Yeah. Go die, everybody.
Go die, everybody.
I went Jim Morrison on their asses. I completely fell apart. I was rolling around on stage.
here's the fun question. Okay. This would put Jeremy Pena on the spot. I don't know that he would answer this one. Who has the worst eating habits on the Astros?
Well, Yuli, but he's not there anymore.
No.
I would say, is Yuli?
Not anymore. Remember, he cut out pizza and beer last year.
No, he's not there anymore.
But even his eating habits were bad 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He cut out the bad stuff, and his average dropped 100 points.
Who is the fattest, who's the chubbiest guy right now?
Astro? That's a good. Maldonado, probably. I mean, but he's a catcher. He gets a pass.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Maldonado's got a boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I shouldn't have said fattest, but, you know, like the least chiseled. Remember that
still Maldonado.
Their pitching staff has gotten more rotund.
They
used to be incredibly fit as a pitching staff.
Yeah.
But now they're they're more lovable as a pitching staff, and just that they've got more personality, and some of them are a little bit like they've got dad bods. They're not fat, but they got dad bods.
Frumber is stocky,
right? No, and that's yeah,
he's stocky. Stocky's right. He's
no, yeah, Frumber's like built. I would imagine. Yeah, none of them are fat.
You know who would be more fun if he were fatter?
Who?
Ryan Stanek. If Ryan Stanek put on about 50 pounds,
yeah. Well, he's got a little bit of that skinny fat deal.
I
going.
Need him to be fatter. Like with that long hair,
like a broomstick with a pot belly.
Yeah.
He's got that. That's why it's so weird that he's not a redneck. Because in so many ways, it's so disappointing when he talks, because he just looks like a river rat from Missouri or something. And he opens his mouth, and you're like, oh, this guy's like actually like learned and stuff.
Yeah,
it annoys me. I feel like I shouldn't trust him.
Yeah, worst eating habits on the Astros. That's a good one.
Luis Garcia, like, he's another one where I think he's like more muscular than you. Because baseball uniforms make guys look
100%.
Like you'd have, like, really, you wouldn't have a clue that Altuve's as jacked as he is.
Right.
Because of the baggy jerseys and everything.
Luis Garcia, there was a picture of him floating around on the internet last year in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
He's yoked up.
Right.
But the baseball uniforms, to your point, don't fit well.
It's honestly, okay, this is gonna be this will be the dumbest thing you hear on sports radio today, and yet also the most valid.
No, we still got 43 minutes left.
For all the various things that... Yeah, I can do this. for all the various things that they've tried to improve baseball, like, I do think that there's something about the uniforms, including... And I'll go this far. This is even dumber and yet completely true. The umpires' uniforms. These guys are wearing, like, businessman's gear from 1985. Like, the big, baggy, pleated pants. They were like, it's one thing, okay, fine... If you're going to have them wear slacks or something, but like, okay, update it a little bit.
Yeah.
And the players' uniforms are not, the bagginess and everything is something from like 20 years ago. It should be more, guys in the 70s wore tighter gear than guys now do. And in this age where it is so much about appearance and guys being shredded and like their impressive physiques and everything, you really don't appreciate the athleticism of a lot of these guys because they don't look like NBA players or NFL players when you see them in their uniforms. I think there's a perception that they're not as athletic as they actually are just because they're dressed frumpy.
Right.
And you can't really appreciate their like the physiology of
it. If you go to a charity event and you see these guys, you're like, holy crap.
Yeah,
like these guys are they're elite. Do you like the stirrups look with the socks, with the short pants, or do you like the pants that go down to the ankle?
I don't
pajamas?
Mind that either way.
I like the stirrups.
As
it's
long
kind
as
of
the pants
school.
Are skin tight.
Right.
All right.
I'm going to see every striation jiggling underneath there. Absolutely. Wait, did I say that or think that?
I think you're thinking it. The striations don't jiggle as much as they.
That's true. All right.
My striations don't jiggle.
I got angrier at a game last night on TV than I have at any Houston sporting event in recent history. It was uncomfortable. It's on my Twitter feed. We're going to break it down next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
So on weeknights, you know, that I'm home, Amy and I, we like to, you know, just kind of sit in front of the TV. I got the computer out doing some things for the show, but watching whatever's on, usually sporting events, especially during baseball and basketball season on weeknights. But there's that soft spot in the day between the news and between primetime at 6:30 where you just need something to fill that void. And Wheel of Fortune is on at that time. I love Wheel of Fortune because I feel smart watching Wheel of Fortune because the puzzles are not tremendously hard and the people on there largely can be very, very dumb at times. Last night was my breaking point, though, in watching Wheel of Fortune. There was a contestant last night, and if you are on Twitter, you saw me reacting to this at Sean T. Pendergast. Not going to play the whole reaction. But last night just broke me for some reason. This, a woman by the name of Brandy, actually, she's besmirching the good name of your wife. She spells it differently. She put an E. Yeah, she put it. She put it. She
hussy to me.
She put an E on the end.
Okay.
Brandy with an E. But
Brandy with an E.
I-E at the end. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I-E at the end. Your Brandy is just an I at the end of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, the good name of Brandy was besmirched by this woman who, I'm going to set up the puzzle here as easily as I can on the radio. It's more about my reaction to it that people seem to like. The puzzle was one of those ones where they take a word and put a blank in front of it. Like last night was blank pole. And so the puzzle is four words in crossword style that you could put in front of the word pole.
Yeah.
Tent pole, telephone pole. Those were basically filled in. The other two crossword style were clearly going to be south and ski. And they shared the S at the beginning of each of those words. Again, crossword style. So some of these words are sharing letters with each other. So south, ski, tent, telephone. That's the answer to the puzzle. The S in ski and south was still blank. So that was one of the letters that needed to be solved. Brandy chose to solve it, thinking she knew what it was without having put the S in there. And here's what ensued.
Watch this.
I like to solve a puzzle.
All right, say everything. Don't add anything.
South, ski.
North, ski, tent, telephone.
What the f***? North, ski. That's an S. You can't just change it from an N to an S. She literally f***ing said north, ski, tent, telephone. These people are so f***ing stupid. My God. North, ski, tent. Where'd they find these f***ing people? Christ.
I threw the remote into the couch. For some reason, Brandy broke me last night.
Did she? Was she just nervous? Maybe did she misspeak?
Maybe,
like, she couldn't have possibly. Like, if she was smart enough to figure that out, like, she could clearly read.
She didn't seem nervous because right before that, she won one of those. One of the letters she got right in guessing.
Yeah.
The little triangle that she got, you know, the triangle that's got the dollar amount on it after the spin, had one of those little ancillary prizes on it, like a little plate. And you, oh, not only are you getting $500 for this L you just guessed, but you get a variety of Avon products. Pick up that little Avon placard and show it to the camera. She was showing it like she just caught a fish, like Lopez out in the bay. Just holding it up real proud. She didn't seem nervous to me. She was just dumb.
Yeah.
She was dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
She thought north and ski began with the same letter, evidently.
What did Sajak do?
He's always nice to people like that.
What is this word puzzle stuff they do now? When did they introduce that?
It's just one of the types of puzzles they do.
Like, have they always done that?
No, it's pretty new.
Sounds newfangled.
It's newfangled. It's pretty good. They're pretty good at coming up with new stuff, except hosts and hostesses
who've been there for 30. Is Vanna still on there?
Vanna's still on. I like Pat Sajak and Vanna White. She wears...
is she gussied up?
She wears like nice short dresses. She looks great. She's like 68 years old. She looks incredible.
68 is the new 23.
Yes, for her.
68
is the
new...
She's got the resources.
What did you say? 68 is the new like 42?
Yeah, yeah. It's probably late
42. 42 used to be bad. Smoking, I got news for you, Sean. I'm pretty sure smoking's bad for you. I swear, I look back.
Shut up.
I'm almost positive. No, if you look back at like athletes who used to smoke, business people, actors, everything, they used to fall off a cliff after the 40s.
You're right. As a society, we skew younger now as we get old. Like, you know.
Everybody. People in general the standards are a little different. Like, because people, I don't think people, I think it was rare that like a 65-year-old had a daily exercise regimen back in the day. It was, you retired from GE, you drank scotch and smoked for a couple years, and then you croaked. Whereas now, You know, you hit retirement and you're relatively healthy. You're out walking. You're swimming. You're doing something like that.
Vanna is 65 years old.
Yeah.
How old do you think Pat Sajak is?
He's got to be a little bit older than her, right? So 70? Yes.
He is 76 years old.
Oh, wow.
Pat Sajak.
How old's Dusty?
Dusty's 72, 73, something like that. Dusty Sharp as well in his 70s. Pat Sajak is 76. He's still like clever on there. You know what I mean? Like he's still funny. He's still sharp.
Yeah.
Well, and he looks good too.
He's still working.
Yeah.
That's
that helps.
Thing. You retire. If you stop working all of a sudden for some people, you go downhill fast. You're not challenging your brain anymore. I mean, he's got to figure out puzzles like that.
Dude. Well, he's not like Trebek was.
Yeah. Well, they would always try to pass Trebek off. Like, well, no, he actually knows most of the answers. I don't care if he knows most. Stop lying to me. I don't care if he knows most of the answers. His job is to just make nice with the guests and have them play the game.
How much do you think Pat Sajak makes a year doing Wheel of Fortune?
It's a syndicated show.
Yeah.
Does he own? He probably, I don't know. Like over the years, he's probably negotiated.
According to Forbes, he has a salary.
But it's syndicated, so he's got really good leverage there. Yeah. I bet he makes $30 million a year.
His salary is $15 million a year, according to Forbes. I don't know how he gets by on that.
$15 million.
$15 mil.
How much was Trebek making?
I would guess at least $15 mil at the end.
I feel like those guys are underpaid. How is Strahan making like $30 million? Whereas I know the viewership and everything, but I feel like those guys, Sajak and Trebek, drove the show in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good question.
Especially Sajak, honestly.
The degree of difficulty is harder for Strahan. He's on live TV, you know.
Yeah, I'm not paying people based on level of difficulty. If that were every teacher would be making $20 million a year.
No, that's fair. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Hey kids, here's another lesson for you. Never, ever, ever, ever try to claim that something you do is good because you put a lot of time into it.
Yeah.
By all means, put a lot of time into it, but nobody wants to hear how many hours you put into something. If it sucks, it sucks. And it doesn't matter how much time you put into it.
My whole agenda for our post-show meeting with our boss. I was going to remind him how hard I work.
No, I heard somebody complaining about this the other day. Somebody, like their boss hadn't approved of something. And they're like, I put so much time into it and he doesn't appreciate it. I'm like, dude, you're just... It sucked.
Yeah.
Like, or maybe it didn't suck, but that's the argument, that it was actually good. Nobody cares how much time you put into something if it's not good work.
Yeah.
It's just it flat out doesn't matter.
I think Strahan's good at what he does for what it's worth. And he does. It's Good Morning America.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying he sucks or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know.
I guess it's just sheer, like, the actual size of the audience is still.
8828 on the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page. Shawnee, that video tripped me out. I was worried that was going to hurt your brand. LOL. Here's what I'll say about that, because of the cursing. I cursed a lot in that video. Here's the thing. I don't curse on this show because I'm not allowed to. I don't curse in our podcast with McLean because McLean's not a curser. I feel like if I did stuff with some of the other people that I...
Well, sorry.
Right. No, McLean's not a curser on the podcast. You get McLean privately, he'll drop a few. But I felt that warranted cursing. She was that dumb. And as far as it hurting my brand... If anything, I have been galvanized into making this part of my brand.
Yeah.
Me critiquing game show hosts. You're a former football player. You are very qualified to do a YouTube channel where you're breaking down plays and coaching candidates, and you're being funny about it because you're a funny person and all those things. And you could probably do the Wheel of Fortune stuff too, let's be real. I'm more limited. I can't sit there and break down X's and O's and things like that. But by God, I can point out stupid people with the best of them.
Yeah, I think you doing a... You should do reviews of game show contestants.
Yes.
And you could,
could be my thing.
Yeah. You know what I was watching last night?
What's that?
Brandon and I were watching the hatchet-wielding hitchhiker. Do you remember the kid that stopped an assault about like 10 years ago or so? He was like this drifter kid hitchhiker, surfer type. And some guy was attacking a woman after he had run into it, a construction worker. And this guy, so he went viral because as he was describing it to the news anchor, he got really graphic and talking kind of like
he's a surfer.
He was like, he talked about he had this hatchet in his bag because he's also homeless. So like, okay, whatever, he's got a hatchet. So he takes the hatchet and he goes, smash, smash, smash. And he went viral and he was like hugely famous for a while because he was this... He like on camera in that interview, he came off as this really lovable, just peace-loving guy who was also weirdly capable of smashing a guy in the head 3 times with a hatchet, one time with the business end, the third and final time with the business end of the hatchet. And But as you will find out, there was way more to the story than that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, way
so
more.
So is this a documentary that you
yeah,
saw?
Yeah, it's a documentary. Okay. So like when they find the guy and they're trying, yeah, this is all true. And yeah. like with real footage and everything.
Right.
When they find the guy, finally, they track him down after a couple of weeks and he's just like hitchhiking around, surfing, smoking weed. And with like the whole world's trying to find him to interview him. The Kardashian company wanted to do a reality show with him.
Holy smokes.
They get him on Jimmy Kimmel and the kid's just a mess, turns out. Like, oh, wait a second. This totally mentally ill stoner dude actually might not be so dependable.
Might not be a great guy to put on a huge nighttime show.
Yeah, yeah. And also there might be a history here with him. So anyway, they show, one of the things they were going to do with just movie reviews with Kai, his name is Kai, and they said they couldn't get through like 2 minutes with him because it was just going to be like him reacting and giving movie reviews.
That
and
gets old too.
And he started going into like basically, yeah, he wasn't like genuinely funny enough in the moment to do it. He could have been an awesome just social media star, except that he had other issues.
Yeah, it's got to evolve.
I don't want to be a spoiler. Things get complicated.
Where can I find that documentary?
Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
It's the Hatchet-Wielding Hitchhiker.
Okay. That sounds really good.
It is really good. You'll recognize the...
Will I? I'll recognize the video? Viral video? Okay.
Yeah, Kai the Hatchet-Wielding.
So I'm having trouble recalling it right now.
Well, you've heard the smash.
Yeah,
it
rings a bell.
You know this kid?
It rings
a
bell. He's
got that like, kind of glazed over...
Oh, yeah, yeah! That's him?
Yeah.
Yes, I do remember that. Okay. I'm excited. So it's a documentary. It's not a biopic really where somebody's playing him.
No, it's a documentary, and it's an hour and a half long. But it doesn't feel like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just looked at my calendar. I've got free time today to go do that. As you can see, this is my day right here. See nothing in my afternoon? Yeah.
I'm jealous.
Hatchet-wielding hitchhiker.
I'm jealous of your planner because you've got a small spiral notebook with 2 weeks planned out all on one page.
Yes.
That's
not bad.
Something that's commendable.
It's not bad.
It's efficient.
Quick text here, 5826. Oh, yeah, Sean got a potty mouth. Yeah, see, I figure with as many people as it might hurt my brand that I was cursing in that video, I feel like there's some that I've strengthened my brand with. I didn't know Sean had that in him. 8 F-bombs in a 30-second period. Yeah, well, if you think that North and Ski begin with the same letter, you're going to get these hands.
There's a guy on Twitter, Super 70s Sports.
Yeah, I follow him. He's great.
He's really funny, and he does a lot of nostalgic type stuff.
Yeah.
But he uses one particular, like, pretty aggressive swear word a lot.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, there's, like, a certain percentage of his fans that will just, like, not stop, like, asking him to stop swearing and everything. And he's like, no, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. Like,
yep. Lean into it.
And it is really fun. He's very good at it.
He's great.
Some people are good at swearing and some are not. He's really good at it.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll find out what's going on In the Loop. If you missed the news earlier, there's a former Texans coach who's back in our lives. We will tell you who it is next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Bill O'Brien is back. He's back in the NFL. That was big breaking news just now on ESPN that Bill O'Brien is back in the NFL. He is going to be the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots. It's a huge upgrade over what they had, which was literally the worst offensive coordinator in the league, and Matt Patricia / Joe Judge. That's how bad it was. They took a former DC and a former special teams coach. I don't know where that calculus comes from. I don't know where DC plus STC equals OC. Let's add a defensive coach and a special teams coach, and if we have them work together, it'll probably be an amazing offense that we have this year. So anyways, it's Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien is back with the Patriots.
O'Brien's back with the Patriots. People in New England just pretty much expected that was going to be. It feels like maybe they've been just negotiating the last couple weeks, probably just trying to hammer out a contract.
I feel similar to Easterby that O'Brien is probably thought of in at least a different, if not more positive light up in New England than he is here.
Yeah, I think a lot of people weren't fans of O'Brien as an offensive coordinator up there, but it's a different standard up there where if you're not winning a Super Bowl, you're trash. So, and people didn't think he was trash. I never liked the fact that they call him Billy O'Brien up there.
Yeah, they do. They call him Billy.
Because they have to keep Bill and Billy separate.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a little bit infantilizing.
It's also where he's from, so he's probably got a lot of childhood people up there that he knew that called him Billy back in the day. Like people that come around the building.
Did John Harris call him Billy?
I don't know. Not recently.
What did he call him back in college?
He called him
Billy O'Brien.
Whenever I talk to Johnny about Bill O'Brien, like Johnny used to bring up Bill O'Brien back when we did our show together, like 07 to 2010.
Yeah.
When O'Brien was a coach on the staff. Johnny would bring him up then as a friend because they played together at Brown, and he would call him OB. That's what he would call him.
Stories about him as a player at Brown were that he was like a glue guy.
Yeah.
That he was incredibly just like the rock that held the losing squad together.
Well, that explains why he gave exorbitant salaries to guys who fit that level of player on the Texans. That's how Nick Martin gets $11 million a year.
I do tough, feel like smart, dependable guys.
Right.
It's funny. I feel like O'Brien, in a lot of ways, is kind of a good example of just what happens to people as they have to ascend through different roles and duties in life. Is that I think when he was a young linebacker, he got to be just, you know, probably blue collar, hard ass, old school linebacker. Oh, yeah. Teammates loved him, and he could be a guy that gives a good pep talk and everything.
Right.
And all of a sudden, when you got to start making decisions about people and have to start, you know, just that doing the unpopular thing at times, you gotta harden yourself somehow. And it changes people. A lot of I kind of half tongue in cheek talk about how a lot of NFL head coaches are kind of whack jobs. I mean, they're different dudes, but some of that is also that the job changes them.
Yeah.
When they get to that spot.
Oh, yeah.
Because you gotta make hard decisions and cut off alliances and anger people that might have otherwise always loved you. It's a tough job.
You're also making way more money than you've ever made, and your survival instincts kick in.
Yeah.
In previous jobs, I could be nice to people and maybe have a little bit of cushion for them. I'm now making $6 million a year, and I don't know that I'll ever have another job that pays me this much.
Yeah.
So I got to become a little cutthroat. Well, that's not even cutthroat. I mean, that's just him screaming like a maniac at somebody. So Bill O'Brien back. Do you think Bill O'Brien is a head coach again in the NFL someday?
No.
I've always thought he would be a better fit in college.
I don't think he's introspective enough to like identify his blind spots.
So you don't think he's taken a step back and looked at what failed him and
maybe
Houston?
He did. I don't know. He's just so angry. I think I can recognize this because I've had my own struggles with anger through the years. I don't know if you ever picked up on it. But there's a certain I feel like he's still at the stage where he thinks his anger is an asset. And then that's the biggest problem with a lot of people that get angry all the time and their first reaction is anger, is that you view it, you really think of it as some kind of a strength when in fact it is an incredible handicap. And I don't see him as having gone through that journey yet. Maybe he will at some point. Maybe he and Bill Belichick will go off on an ayahuasca retreat or something.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Can you imagine O'Brien doing a Pancha Karma cleanse?
Can you imagine like O'Brien and Belichick at like one of these man retreats where they're like doing primal screams and everything covered in mud?
How mad would he be when he's just constantly vomiting and pooping? Yeah. He's cussing everybody out.
Cussing out the tribal chieftain or whatever.
You suck, too!
And then, but at the end, the breakthrough is like, you suck, daddy. I hate daddy.
Yeah. Someone said on the Trailer Reel and Frame text page, Sean, you're stretching it on Vanna White, pleasant lady. Then the previous segment, we were talking about Wheel of Fortune. I had a little Wheel of Fortune outburst last night. It's been captured by my wife and posted on social media. We played the audio. Vanna White, 65 years old, looks incredible.
Game.
Yes.
Yeah.
65. I would ask this texter, 6160, give me 3 65-year-old females in your life, texter. And I would submit that Vanna White is more attractive than all three of them. Looks amazing.
I can't imagine anyone else.
Way above. Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree.
Maybe it's that we're a little closer to her in age. Yeah.
By the way, I do think Bill O'Brien is going to be head coach in the NFL. And I think it's going to be
for
New England Patriots.
You think, okay, this is where it gets fun.
Yeah.
Gerard Mayo is the golden child in the building.
Not
right
anymore.
Gerard Mayo was sitting on all the interviews with the OC, supposedly, with Belichick. They put out a press release.
Yeah,
They put out a press release announcing that they were working on an extension with a linebackers coach, Gerard Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying Bill O'Brien doesn't have favored nation status.
Yeah.
What I am saying is, Billy. And Girardi, what I am saying is this could create some interesting Game of Thrones things going on behind the scenes.
It's already happening,
yes,
I'm sure.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is where we need Easterby to get plunked back down into that
stew. Oh, he's going to bring Easterby back. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious.
Well, if he's used in the same capacity, which is what people in the NFL do, they kind of get – they ascend to a certain position, then they get bucked back, and then maybe they ascend again. But if Easterby goes back to New England, it's going to be as a character coach slash – a stool pigeon for the players. Like, hey, guys, tell me about all your problems. And then pay no attention to me being in Belichick's office afterwards. Like, what a bunch of idiot clowns.
Stool,
like, honestly.
Pigeon.
That's where, like, honestly, it was. Like, I would hear these stories about Easterby, and I'm like, oh, he's a mole.
He's a narc.
You guys are such idiots.
He's
like,
a
all these dumbass clowns. Like, he was like the Derek Rivers and all these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you idiots. Why
you officiated my wedding.
Why are you disclosing anything to this bald freak?
By the way,
no offense, Sean.
I have. No offense.
Like, of course, he's blabbing every single thing you tell him to the coach. Like, how are you this stupid? You're idiots.
Yes. Yeah.
I have to say something before we go on, though.
Yeah.
I was watching Wheel of Fortune live last night.
Okay.
I didn't throw the remote. But everything you said,
yes,
I kind of echoed it, the old first ward here, man, because I was like, you stupid
Brandy.
Bleep.
Yeah, Brandy. Yeah. Is the
I didn't call her Brandy.
A lot of people are saying that. So this was like, I wonder, did this get viral on social media?
No, I had
how
a lot
bad
of
she was?
No, well, only my video is the only one I've seen. I had a lot of people agreeing with me. It was amazing how many people were watching it live that were reacting to my video. I'm like, wow, a lot of people watch Wheel of Fortune. No wonder they make so much money.
Yeah. We're also getting up into that age bracket.
That's true, too.
We are Wheel of Fortune
people.
We're Wheel of Fortune people. Lubies.
But this is why it was so bad. There have been bad ones before.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen somebody in that crossword format.
She changed the letter.
Just change the letter. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I went from you stupid bleep to just laughing my butt off about it. So I was with you 100%.
Did you see the video as I posted it?
I did shortly later. Yeah, shortly after.
Yeah.
There's another documentary.
I was the voice of the voiceless.
There's a documentary about a guy who used to, I guess back in the 80s, he would go to every single Price is Right.
It's an amazing documentary.
I've seen it too.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. No spoilers.
He memorized all the prizes. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's really good.
But then he would shout it out and help. Like, how are they still allowing the guy in? Can you tell me that, or is that a spoiler?
You know what? I need to watch it again.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
all right.
I need to watch. I don't remember all the little. I remember really enjoying it. I don't remember all the little details.
It's impressive, like, that people did stuff like that back in the day when it wasn't so easy to even, you know, it wasn't even easy. It looked like in an era where, like, it would have been, if he was recording, it would have been because he had a huge clunky VHS, one of the first ones.
Yeah.
And, like,
had, like, you know, notebooks.
And he probably wasn't plugging it into XL or anything.
It's incredible. Yeah. It was way back
quick
in the day.
Plug for a documentary that I have nothing to do with that I thought of you about, Seth, of Kai. Remember Kai? I loved it.
Hold on a second. Yeah. Did you hear him talking about it earlier?
No, it was off air, I'm guessing.
He didn't.
Oh my God.
I watched it about 2 weeks ago. It's awesome.
Okay. No, I'm just saying.
And I thought,
like,
of Seth.
It's crazy that he brought it up. That's all.
I know.
I'm a ghost.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest promoted ones on Netflix right now.
Plus,
it's
the audience may not have heard him. You bring it up a little earlier.
Wait a second. You watched the 49ers this last weekend?
Okay, that's the same as this hatchet wielding hipster.
It's a commentary on psychological, awareness and strength.
That's wild. Yeah. Is it brand new or something?
About 2 weeks ago is when I saw it.
Yeah, it's one of the, I think it's top 10. I kept seeing it over and over again.
I felt so bad for that dude.
Okay, so it's not like Class Action Park that Landry recommended from like 10 years ago.
Yeah. No.
Okay, well, I'm not as astounded.
You should be.
I got to get out of here.
No, I watched it because it kept popping into my screen.
I got you.
I thought you would like it.
I got you. I just didn't know how old the documentary was. All right, we're done. We're out of time. Antibodies to you, Seth. To you, John.
Thank you,
Ben. Antibodies to everybody.
Antibodies, and everybody drive safe in the fog.
Yeah, it's nasty outside.
It's going to rain like a mofo.
There's one thing I remember from my aviation training. It's that your perception of distance is affected by fog. And also, don't drink before you fly.
Good advice, kids. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Where do you find these f***ing people?
Antibodies to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, that's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.